When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Episode 674 today. We're going to talk some press. We're going to talk 1-2-2 press. I'm very excited. A great friend of mine. We're gonna break it down. Just talk about some of the rotations and some of the things with a 1-2-2 press. I think you'll really enjoy it. Today is part one of two parts. I'm going to try, hopefully by Wednesday, to have this up on YouTube so you can watch it there too. I'll put it down below in the show notes so you can see some of the stuff that we were drawing up in terms of the rotations on this. Hope you enjoy it. But before we jump into that, make sure you go over and check out our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish. Mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $350 off your next purchase, which will help us and help them. And it's a great, and hopefully you can get on. And last time I checked, there was a waiting list. And also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better resources, one-on-one calls, office hours, everything that you would need to become a better basketball coach is there. I'm trying over the next couple months to kind of show you some of those one-on-one calls and those teachhoops.com member calls. They are great, and I'm just trying to pull back that curtain so you can kind of see what those are like. And like I said, prices are going up about 20-25%. We haven't, my partners and I haven't quite decided on what that's going to look like yet, but we're going to make it great. So come over and check it out, and let's head off to the podcast. All right, Coach. So let's just jump right in, and you tell me why you pick this press. Because I've run the run and jump before. I've run a 2-2-1. I've run a 1-3-1, three-quarter court. Why the 1-2-2?
Well, when I first started coaching, I was more of a man-to-man coach.
Okay.
Before I came to Boonville, I've been here for 8 years. I was up at Northeast Missouri, a place called Scotland County, Memphis, Missouri, and coaching girls. And we had a group that, like I said, we used to get up in you, switch all screens, maybe throw out some zone. But this group wasn't going to be as quick. So I wanted to do something where we could take and still maybe get some turnovers, you know, run something maybe a little bit different than other people do. But knowing we wouldn't get as many turnovers, pressure man-to-man, I wanted to run some type of system where I know we could take and, like I say, kind of get some turnovers along the way, but it's a little bit different than man-to-man. So I went with the 1-2-2 ball press.
Okay, and why – and you don't have the you do not have the shot clock, correct?
We do not.
Okay. Because I think if the it'd be interesting to ask coaches in states that have it. I bet there's a lot of 1-2-2 run. I bet there's a lot of 2-2-1 run for people to have shot clocks. So what do you think the strength and the weaknesses of this press are?
Well, definitely.
I think to be a good coach, you need to know the strengths, but then you need to know the weaknesses, because people are going to try to counter your weaknesses. Is the reason?
Sure. You know, and I got a list here of things, like when it comes to like advantages, you know, things that are, and I've been lucky enough here at Boonville to take and have above average athletes.
Right.
Especially for what we see in mid-Missouri in our class, where we've been a class three, now we're a class four the last couple of years. So it kind of takes advantage of using your athletes, you know, getting traps, just the pressing, makes and misses. But again, with the ball press, one, it takes in, you're constantly applying pressure. We do something different. We take and we press makes and misses, where, you know, most teams around here might run a 1-2-2 zone press after a make. You know, we're going to ball press and run that 1-2-2 zone back to a trapping 1-2-2, both makes and misses. So it's something different, something that you have to prepare for differently. Again, it forces the opponents in a an unorganized style of play, you know, especially off the misses. You know, everybody has an organized press breaker off makes, but on a miss, you know, you don't know who's going to be handling the ball. And again, you might get some easy turnovers there. So it's an unorganized style of play. Again, it forces opponents out of their normal offense. One of the coaches around here in mid-Missouri after the game this year, he had a comment in the paper basically saying when they play us, you have to be able to just to kind of make plays because your structured offense, your zone offense, you might, you know, we're going to probably do something maybe to take you out of it. You know, we're going to try, you know, throw a different trapping system. We might, you know, trap one possession, next look, the next possession might, we might peel back in the passing lane or do something different.
And you have calls for those?
So that's all on reads, on reads with the girl where, but the rule, which we'll go over later on, is you can't do the same thing more than twice in a row. So if we trap twice in the baseline corner, the next time we either have to play passing lane back to the guard or we have to bluff and peel back in the passing lane just to kind of keep them off balance a little bit. With us, like this year, we took in, I think we, not just turnovers, we probably averaged about 18 plus steals a game.
Okay.
You know, I think the looking at the stuff off huddle assists, our opponent's turnover percentage was somewhere in the upper 30s. So, you know, this defense kind of gave us a lot of chances to get easy, you know, steals, which led to points in transition.
Okay.
You get those quite a bit. You know, just the defensive intensity. And honestly, players like to press. They like to get up and down and do some things.
That's a plus. That is definitely a plus.
Yeah. And that's what's good about this defense is it's a very tempo control. You can take, if you wanted to slow teams down, you can maybe run a little bit more of a contained type press where you're just kind of less trapping, just slowing the tempo down a little bit. If you want to be like us, we're very aggressive out of it. So we can take and trap, you know, all over the floor in all four corners in the quarter court. Some coaches I know only trap the baseline corners. So you can take and tweak it whatever way you want. It doesn't matter if you're having, you know, if you got quick players, slow players, tall, short. There's different ways you can take and adjust it to help your personnel and what you have.
Okay.
You know, weaknesses with it. Teams with us, if we've had the luxury of getting ahead a lot. And I'll tell my girls, it's important that we take and get a lead because, you know, if you get behind at times, and we'll take and extend it and try to trap and. But teams might take and spread you out a little bit. Right. You know, they kind of control the tempo compared to, you know, us control. Right. So, you know, teams, you know, the high post area with a 1-2-2 can be, you know, vulnerable a little bit. You know, if you put a playmaker or something or a nice post in the high post, that can kind of give you problems a little bit. Shooters, like anything else, shooters can, especially in the corners, because you have those threes in the back. You know, but if you got threes in the back, they have to basically cover corner to corner. So if somebody takes and, you know, picks on a slower three, that can maybe take and kind of be a disadvantage for you. Okay. So that's kind of when it comes to the defense.
So I'm playing you and I'm more athletic than you. Does that, I mean, can you, maybe I need to reword this. I'm less athletic than most of the teams in my conf. Can I run this against my conference? If I'm less athletic.
Yeah, I would say take a look at, and this is more up your direction, but towards Springfield, Illinois. Okay. Legend coach Neil Alexander coaches at Lincoln, Illinois. He is usually, if you look at game films of his, he usually has probably the lesser of the athletes. But he runs it where he stays. It's a great equalizer defense where if you're a little bit less skilled or less athletic, it can maybe keep you into games more where you have a chance at the end type thing. Just because, now again, you might not be as aggressive and trap as much out of it, but maybe you contain a little bit more on the top of the press. And then once you start getting more into the quarter court, half court, maybe you start trapping a little bit more, being a little bit more aggressive. If you get into it quick off misses, you can slow them down. Maybe they're not going to get their points in transition. So that was the one thing that kind of sold on me earlier was, I had some of those teams. Even my first year here at Boonville, we were very, very young, but it kept us in games. And those girls got older, then once they started getting a little bit more older and a little bit more athletic and more skilled, it just had a different look to it. But so, yes.
So let's go through the basic drops of it, and then I'm sure I'll have questions on that. Do the full court stuff.
Okay, can you see okay?
I can. It's perfect. Yep.
I might take and move over here.
Can see perfect. Yep.
But okay, so we have different pickup points. And the thing about the pickup points are, because we can go full court. So, I mean, this is three-quarter court right here.
Right.
So I have my – and I label my my players. We have a one, we have the twos, and we have the threes.
I love that. Where'd you get that? Because I used that this year when we put it in. I like that.
One of my former coach, when we started running this, you know, him and I talked quite a bit about it, and that's kind of how he did it.
Okay.
He just labeled that way. Now, like when it first came about in Illinois, and even Lauren Wallace here at Quincy, Illinois, he would label a point, your wings, and your backs. So, but we went ahead and just had like a numbering system. So, because when we trap, we call it 1-2 traps, we call it 2-3 traps. is just what we did. But we have the pickup points for us is we can move. So this is your three-quarter court. This is our base defense. Everything we do, makes or misses, this is pretty much what we do majority of the time, if not all the time. We get into three-quarter court. Yep.
I have found most high school teams cannot run it full.
I think
around three-quarter.
Girls, I think, you know, especially at our level and everything, I think it's, you know, if you have a little bit of the depth and everything, you know, it becomes more of like a diamond and one type, right. You know. But, you know, we're not going to find too many girls who can make those long, deep, diagonal passes. Boys, like with you, what you coach and everything,
right?
It might be a little bit different. We don't like to give up a whole lot of stuff on the back end, which we don't give up a lot of stuff. You know, boys coaches might have to live with that a little bit more. We can pick up full court. We can take and go three-quarter court. We can back it up. We're the one. I mean, everybody has like the volleyball lines, the spike line. We can bring the one to there. The twos in back up 15 feet from her. The threes would back up based off the twos.
Okay.
This defense to us is our blue defense. So that would just be, I'll just tell the girls, hey, we're in half. Or then we'll go quarter court, which is, and with half court, we will then trap right when they come across into the front court.
So it's like, okay.
Yeah, with the three-quarter court, we can trap, you know, in the back court or the front court. Pretty much in between those volleyball lines is where we want to take it to the trap. Or we can just basically drop it back into, like, the quarter court where the twos are at the elbows, kind of like what you see over here in some of these drills.
Okay.
So that's our pickup points. And, the main things with the ball press first of all, you want, you know, think about like the volleyball court.
Draw the volleyball court on there. Just dotted. Put it in dotted line.
Let's say we take in. I'm trying to think here.
I think it's like there. Because I talk about this all the time when we do it. Is the volleyball lines? Yep. Like we want to trap outside the volleyball line.
Yeah, and that's what's perfect. Is that's where you want to keep the ball on the outside and not let it go through the middle. Which is like any zone defense, even in the half court. Keep the ball. You know, we don't want a penetrating pass or a penetrating dribble in our zone. Same thing here. You want to keep it outside the volleyball line. When we start teaching the ball press, we will take, even on day one, we'll do a lot of these quarter court drills, but we'll at least show them and do something in the three quarter court just because that's the way we want to play. We want to start developing that mentality with them.
So you do the parts and then you do the whole.
Yep.
You do the whole is the entire 1-2-2.
Okay. Yep. And then as we go, we'll start adding more drills. And there might be a day, like the first day of practice, we might take and get them in their positions and just kind of let them play out of it just to get them pressing makes and misses. It might be the ugliest thing you see, but we know eventually we can start cleaning up. You know, we'll tell them, I said, we just want to get your legs in shape and get that mindset of you guys pressing makes and misses. You're probably going to give up stuff. That's okay. Eventually, we're going to break this thing down and we're going to clean it up. But we just want to get you knowing where you're supposed to be. So when the ball goes in, you may just go through like the different.
Yeah, just go through the different drops and where you're trying to funnel. And
because
I think we did a pretty good job of, it's kind of like being on strings moving side to side.
Yes,
it is. So it took a while to get that movement, but it's almost like a dance.
I mean, we always talk
about people listening. It's a little bit harder to understand what I'm talking about. But when the ball goes from side to side, it's like this dance going.
It is. And that's one of the main things is you want to, all five players should be moving at the same time. When that ball, when a player pivots, you should be moving. You should be pivoting. You should be reading, anticipating that pass. You know, when the ball gets reversed and it's moving, everybody should be moving on airtime. So you're in sync.
That anticipation thing where you do your breakdown stuff was helpful as far as figuring out.
Sure. So I'm going to go. I'm hoping you can see this here.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yep.
But this is just a simple 2-1-2 press offense. So when the ball goes in, R1's job is to pressure, and their job is to get them going up the sideline and hopefully like in a speed dribble. Now, they have to make sure they can't get behind the ball. We always just talk about getting your head on the ball, and we're pretty much back to the other person. If this is somebody who's a little bit quicker, you might have to lessen your angle a little bit, maybe get a little bit more towards the front. But usually we're playing in between. Right here's our one. You can do that. You can play that a couple of ways. You can, just like we do in the quarter court, if they want to play more passing lane, they can. If they want to bluff and peel back, it's up to the coach.
You teach the I'm going to come up, I'm going to bluff like I'm coming up and come back.
Yeah, we'll go over it and teach it. But a lot of times we like to put pressure as much as we can. So
you want to pressure the top. So what causes her not to get beat on the dribble and the turn into the middle?
Everybody's playing on angles. So if she plays behind, a step behind, and she doesn't have her head on the ball, you know, a good point guard might split you. Or the two, usually this two should be inside. If there's a line going down from the one or from the ball or the one down the sideline, the two, ball side two should never be outside that line. So they want to be to the inside. So let's say the two is here.
Okay.
Okay. And then the other two is here. If you get beat, one of two things have happened. This girl is playing behind, allowing her to dribble to the middle. Right. And this two should have her, basically her chest, their chest should be facing that ball. So their butt should be basically to this backside corner.
Okay.
So if they're out here playing too flat, then she'll just dribble and get ahead of her, and then she'll just split you. You have to, the one and two have to work together to corral her into a 1-2 trap.
Okay.
Okay. The one's job is to push them down the sideline. The two, everybody now has chest to the ball. Your butt is to the backside.
And is that one of your key, is that a key teaching point for you?
Chest to the ball. We go over it. We go over it basically just saying, make sure you're facing the ball. I mean, it's just on the first day, it's just something we go over. We're constantly, you'll hear me pretty much every day in practice talk about angles. You know, maybe it's just the angle of the body. You know, maybe it's the, when the pass gets made, they have to sprint at an angle. Everything is, you'll just hear the word angles quite a bit. Here's what it looks like when the ball has, when somebody has the ball. Now, what we want them to do is dribble up, and the two can't come out because we want to make that sideline look open. We want that point guard to get into a speed dribble up the sideline. So if the two goes out and plays too flat, they're just taking away the sideline and they're not going to dribble out, you know, to that area. So we want to make that look open and dribble into it. When it gets close in our trapping areas, if you have that spike line, that volleyball line on each side of half court, anything inside that 16, 20 feet, whatever it is, that's where we want to trap. Whatever the best, you know, I know some coaches might contain, and then when you get across, they might trap. Okay. We're going to get you on either side.
And where do you ideally want to get that first trap?
We want to get it pretty much right in the backcourt, in that corner right here is where we usually get it.
Okay.
And then our three, so if they dribble up and we get into a, let's say this is a 2-1 trap right here, our three is making the sideline pass look open, but they're being close enough to take it away. So we're going to kind of bait them into throwing that pass. Again, these two are, we got short middle, deep middle. Now, I know some boys coaches, they might take this two and they might play underneath because they don't want to get sealed.
Right.
And then make this pass. We play top side.
Hey, everybody. Hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. Please go over and check our website, tchoops.com, for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial. It's got office hours. It's got one-on-one calls. It's got handouts. It's got practice plans. It's got how to do just, it's got a roadmap for you. That's what you need, a roadmap. So go over and check that out. Again, it helps us keep the lights on. It helps us keep this train of chugging. Subscribe and like. We would love that. If you love these podcasts, especially in Apple and Spotify, if you leave us a 5-star review, we would really appreciate that. All right, let's head back to the podcast.
We will take it. If we think they're going to reverse pivot and make this guard-to-guard pass, we call them shooting gaps. We're going to shoot that gap right there. And usually we can, one of the rules we might talk about is the rule of, you know, 2 seconds. You know, if they're in a good trap, we're going to count 1001, 1002. This two might release, and then this backside three might kind of come up and kind of help out.
Do you do anything? I mean, do you interchange legs? You talk about the specific trap of how you want that trap to look?
We just taking hands to the ball, mirror the ball, and the trap, just your typical cross your feet.
Okay.
You know, no splits. The main thing is don't let them split you. We don't want two defenders behind the ball.
Okay.
So no splits. Just, and again, one thing that upsets, I'm sure it upsets you, it upsets me, is I'll have girls get them in a good trap, and instead of getting the turnover coming out of the trap, they start reaching.
Right.
And they'll get a foul, reaching call.
So the back three, does the back three's protection, not the three that's trying to look up the sideline, the back three, the one that's at the top of the key, what's their job? Is their job to protect the rim? Is their job to look middle?
Again, with girls, it's a little bit different. You know, with boys, they might have to be a little bit deeper.
Yeah, because my thought is that pass can come all the way down.
Yes.
Yeah.
With us, if they make this pass, I'm not going to say a whole lot to this person. I'm going to probably take and have a talk with my ones and twos because the trap wasn't good enough. They shouldn't be able to make that pass. But we, as a girls coach, that's one reason why this is, you know, it's very good with boys, but I think it's really good with girls. Because – they might not be able to make that pass, and we can kind of cheat up a little bit with this three. But the backside three has got to be your protector. So with boys, they would probably drop a little bit.
Oh, drop a little bit more. Okay. It's more I always say them low is the lowest, because then they can't get behind you and you don't know where they are. Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe boys, maybe with girls, like say, we'll go for this.
Yeah.
And you might not. Pass. Maybe with boys, again, you're really protecting the middle of the floor.
Okay.
You know? So Now on the
reversal,
what most teams will do is they're going to come up here, and right before they get trapped, they're going to ping pong that thing back over here.
That is the most common thing teams do.
Yep. So here's our rules on this. The one, we just tell them to go chase. You can do a couple things. You can have them run at an angle towards the middle of the floor and then come up, or you can just have them just chase across. It's whatever you do. We used to take and just protect the middle. Now I just tell them, you guys just take and go. The one, okay. Just go.
Before we jump into this and this rotation, describe the ones, describe your one, describe your twos, describe gotcha. Your threes. Like, what do you want from your one? Like, I'm picking my team. I'm looking at my team right now. Do I want my point guard? Do I want my quick guard? What do I want from those positions? I think that was the hard part. I didn't know where to put people either.
The main thing I think is you have to have multiple people play the one. So it's going to be key that you find maybe two or three people, or like with us, all three of these, my ones, all my twos can play the top. It might give us a different look, but they can, because there's going to come a time where your one up here, they have to have a motor on them. They have to be, you know, they have to be quick. They have to be good anticipators.
The Energizer Bunny is what I refer to.
They do.
They're always moving.
But they're going to get tired.
Yes.
So there's going to be times where you have to switch. And that is a call. I will do it sometimes, or my one will basically just tell, like on a dead ball or somewhere, they'll just tell my a two to take their spot and they'll just drop. Or maybe if they pick up a quick foul early, they might take and drop and then move.
Do you tell them that they can do that?
They can do that. That's on them. And I trust them to do it, and they do a good job. But there's times where when they come back in the game, you know, I might tell a certain player, you need to be the one. Okay. You know, maybe she does a better job of covering the high post in the quarter court or something. So, but they're all interchangeable. Usually you're one, you want somebody. If you have somebody that's quick, that got some length to them, that's nice to have, because they can knock down passes.
You'd want a long, lanky, on top of any press, you want that ideally, but yes.
But Steve, I think the best, you got to have somebody that's going to have a motor on them is the number one. You know, it's a good on-ball defender who this girl is not going to take, or this boy is not going to get by them all the time with the dribble. So they have to be a smart defender. Usually that could be anything from a forward, you know, an athletic forward, to most likely a guard. Twos, usually they're guards for us. I think most twos for anybody would be their two guards. So that could be your point guards. That could just be one of your guards. It doesn't really matter. They're usually quicker. They have to take and do a good job of covering, you know, side to side, because they're the ones. A lot of our traps are going to be the 1-2 traps. We get 2-3 traps, but the majority of your traps are going to be the 1-2 traps. So they have to do a good job of, you know, being able to crowd players and stuff. But usually those are your guards.
So how many 2-3s and how many 1-2 traps, like percentage wise, like 75% are 1-2s?
70-80% of probably our traps are more. I mean, more than the majority are usually 1-2s, because when we reverse the ball, we will try to get a 1-2 trap on this side as well.
And you won't get, okay, that makes sense. Okay.
Which we'll go over, and then my threes are usually, you're talking your forwards, your post. And usually I'll put my center, my big, my five on the backside. She'll be the right side three, because there's been times where we have rotated back into a 2-3 zone. So that kind of keeps her in the middle.
Okay.
It's just whatever. But usually that's them back there. Can you play a guard back there? Yes. You know, if you have a guard that can take in, who gets scrappy and likes to get rebounds, there's no reason why.
Who draws the most fouls?
I think the one at times, because they're just scrappy up top. They pick up those cheap fouls. You know, we got.
Where do you put somebody you need to protect them? Let's say you have your best player and they've got three fouls and they're your one. Do you move them back?
I move them to a two. Once they pick up, we have a guard right now, an All-State sophomore. It's just kind of inbred in her. I mean, she's an aggressive girl. I mean, right. She's smart enough to realize we have to have her out there. She can't get in foul trouble. But if she picks up a quick one early, like in the first minute or two, she knows to switch with one of these, the twos.
Okay.
And they'll move up there, and then she'll just kind of – because here you're pressuring so much.
And you're on the ball. That's what the officials are watching too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll pick up – you know, she'll try to, you know, do a tipper. I mean, she'll just pick up those ticky-tack stuff every so often, which drives us nuts. You know, the threes can get in foul trouble because they're down there banging, you know, getting rebounds. They might get an over-the-back call or something, or push ball or call. But, you know, so going back, these are our posts. That's ideally what we want to take and do. You might not have the luxury of having some size, so you might have undersized, like say guards and stuff, playing any position just based on the personnel you have that year. But the good thing about that is I think the quicker you are, this year we have an athletic quick team compared to what we've had the last handful of years. It's fun watching them, because especially, I've always said the ones and twos, they're the ones that kind of get the defense going. But when you have some good threes who anticipate, they take away sideline, they move, they're flying around a little bit, they're communicating with everybody in front of them. These are the ones that kind of make everything go.
Okay. So if you play, if you had to play all guards, this would be okay.
I think so. I mean, you're going to give, if you play man to man, you're probably going to give up something because they're going to be able to post, you know, isolate somebody inside. Here, at least we kind of dictate where, you know, what they can do against us with the zone. But you might take and you might get more being a guard, you know, get more steal, get more deflections.
Right.
Get more.
That's what I was thinking. You might get more deflections. You might get more. Yeah.
So again, here we got the 1-2 trap. Yep.
And how often do you get the first trap before they flip it? Probably not very often. My guess is they come down and they do that little banana thing over across. Yeah.
They will throw it. Now here's where your twos, because the two is protecting the middle. Everybody's running back at an angle, unless your one's just chasing across. The twos have to play tag. Remember that your job is to keep them out of the middle. If this two comes out too early, they're going to go right down the gut and throw it to the middle of the press. This two, right when that ball goes over their head, she is sprinting back to the middle where this two is waiting. Once she gets back, here comes this one. The threes are on a string. Once they come close together, close enough where they can kind of get their playing tag.
Are they close enough they can touch?
I think it depends on who your twos are.
Okay. You know, because you could almost use a terminology like you do with switching screens. Talk, touch, take.
You can, yeah. And a lot of teams do it.
Yeah.
Well, we know this girl usually is quick. So we'll take, and when we know she's close enough, you know, if they want to throw this pass, she'll probably get a deflection so they can leave a little bit early.
Okay.
But they have to protect the middle. They can't let the ball go down the middle. And if it happens to, then they're, again, trying to get a tip.
They'll leave too early from me trying it this year. They'll leave too early. That's why we went to our talk, touch, take thing that we use in switching just because then it was like, all right, you got to talk that it's happening. You should be close enough that you can touch because then that makes them, you know, know that they're not. Yeah. And here's where angles really come into play.
Yes, it is. And one of the rules, some of the different terminology, I know Lauren Wallace, a lot of coaches, ball press coaches use it, but Lauren Wallace or Quincy back in the 90s always use it where, you know, ball goes, you go. So when that ball goes, you go towards it. Again, we don't go to the ball. The ball comes to us. The three, you know, ball come, you come. Okay, so there's a little bit of those little phrases you can take and add in there. But here, this is what I like about the 1-2-2, the ball press is, over here you had a trap that was coming from, they see it coming. But here, when they start getting this speed dribble, the two's job is you have to, again, work your angles, keep them to the side, but that one is pursuing behind. And then right, usually when we get across half court or somewhere around half court, that two will turn them and here comes that one and we get one of those blind traps from behind. So in our rule is we usually try to, any dribble across half court is a 1-2 trap. Any pass across half court is a 2-3 trap. That one is pursuing, you know.
Say that again. If you dribble over half court, it's a 1-2. One is in the 2's trap. If you pass, it's a 2-3.
It's a 2-3.
Okay.
So, like right there, when they reversed it, that 2's job is to keep that ball handler on the side. And then when they get into that trapping area, they're going to take that one should be pursuing. And then they will take and turn right back into it's kind of like a run and jump. When you see numbers or something, you take and go, same type of trap. So now we'll take and get that.
What percent do you see the pass over and then one more pass back? Not very often.
No. And what we'll do is, like the press offense, we run like a trick. It's almost like a diamond look, like a 1-3-1 look. And we'll tell our one, hey, they might ping pong, you know, they got to get to half court sometimes. So just kind of bluff and peel back. Stay in that middle third. Don't wear yourself out. And once they start getting to our trapping areas, we're just going to take and just rush them and get a trap then. But so here's a good trap right there. And again, three's taking away the sideline. Everybody's rotated over. If they dive, you know, if they happen to dive somebody, the three can kind of come up and help. Two comes with them. Now, if they take and dribble here, but let's say they pass it ahead to a guard or somebody in the corner.
Right.
Then again, two follows. And here's where your 3-2 trap, your 2-3 trap comes about.
So three's got to get the right angle on that one too.
Three's got to keep, their job is to keep them on the sideline. So don't give up, you know, don't come play flat where they go middle. So their job is, again, the three is coming over. If they dive somebody, the three's got to meet them at the elbow with a forearm in the chest. So the three has to meet them, usually about that elbow area. And then again, the two and the one are rotating. The two is dropping back, and the one is dropping back towards the middle of the floor.
And that's your normal drops. Anytime that you is. Go 1-2-2. Three-quarter.
I've had coaches say, okay, what happens if this is a, if you get a 2-3 trap way up here and they throw like to a corner here.
Right.
A lot of coaches, Ryan Weber, who's up at the Quad Cities, the best ball press coaches, he calls an X cut. So the threes, they'll take in, if they throw here, they'll come out, they'll X here. This two will come over until that three drops back, and then they'll bump back okay. there. So this extra pass to the corner, that's how they call that an X cut, but I got that from Ryan Weber.
And that doesn't happen. How often does that happen?
It doesn't with us a whole lot at all.
Okay.
You know, at all. And if that ever happens, we might back it up a little bit because maybe I tell my threes, don't come up here and trap. Maybe okay. they just show and then peel back or something.
Okay.
We don't want to give up that a whole lot. So that is pretty much.
And when you run it half court, do you do it? Is it similar?
Yes. So in the half court, we will take, again, here's our ones, twos, threes. So it's the same thing. So instead of trapping up here, we're going to trap. Here's our trapping areas.
Okay.
So we're going to do the same thing. Force them to the sideline. When they come across, we're going to do a 1-2 trap here. Three's going to take away the first pass. Other three takes away deep middle.
Do you disguise it? Do you disguise it? Or everyone knows you're doing it.
No, but the only good thing about it is it almost just gives you a different look. You're running the same rotations, but just by dropping it to different areas on the floor, it's almost like you're running
a different
something
press.
Different.
Yeah.
And we've had teams that do a good job passing. They don't turn the ball over because maybe they pass. You know, we like teams that like to try to dribble through our press, and we'll speed them up too. But if teams are real good about moving.
Well, if
pass,
I was playing you, I would say no dribbles ever.
Yeah, they'll just sprint. So what we'll do sometimes, and maybe they put somebody here, so we'll drop it back to this just because I tell my players it shrinks the floor. There's less less areas for them to take in, pass through, things like that.
No, that's great. That's
That's pretty much the rotations. I'm sure I missed probably something or a good.
No, that's perfect. I'm just making sure I'm doing it right.
A whole lot of, the whole time here, so.
No, I that's perfect. That's I just making sure. I was doing my rotations right when I go back and look at my film. So everything was good on rotations. So how do you break it down then? So let's talk drills and stuff that we break.
Okay. Now going back to that, and I know I went over. I think one time I went over this with you, which is that 5-on-5 shell, which we'll do like the first day where you try to get so much done in like 45 seconds. Do you want me to quickly go over that?
Yeah, go over that. I don't remember that.
Okay, we'll see. Hopefully.
We'll see if the old guy remembers. So you're going 5-on-5.
It is 5-on-5.
Now, how many girls do you have on your
We have around 20. That's just JV. We don't have a freshman team, so basically freshmen through seniors.
Do you have three colors or four colors going at the same time or just two colors?
Okay. Just usually two on this.
I found a place that makes reversibles that have three colors.
I've seen that.
Have you seen it?
But to me, it just seems like is it too thick or is it okay?
I don't know. I tried to get it. I tried to get one to see it, but they're shut down right now. So that would be like life changing to me. Like,
it's nice. Now we have black, cut off, dry fit shirts that we wear. So we can give another team, we can tell them to wear those for the day with the jersey over and they can just take those off.
Yeah.
Especially the girls. This is a 5-on-5 drill.
And you do this right away.
This is something we probably start doing over the last couple of years. On the first day of practice, just to show them the rotations of the and where we're going to trap with the 1-2-2 with the ball press.
Okay.
Then every so often we might, once you get in the season, you don't have to run it as often, or it's just whatever you want to do. But this is something I'd probably start showing at least definitely the first day. If something happens, we can't. Then definitely by the second day. Now I'm not going to take if you can see, I'm going to just keep the players the same spot. Yep. But I'm just going to talk about like where the traps are and what they're doing.
Yep.
To kind of give you the idea.
So you call this 5-on-5?
This 5-on-5 full court shell.
Okay.
And this basically lets us know where the traps are. You know, where do we get our 1-2 traps? Where do we get our 2-3 traps on a long skip? How do we cover it?
So they don't move. Like the offense doesn't move.
No. The offense, the only person that moves is the middle person. We will have them dive only when there's a 2-3 trap. Only when the ball crosses half court will they take in.
Okay.
They will dive because the backside three has got to take and meet them towards that elbow.
I like that shell part. That's what we should have. We didn't. We did this, but we didn't do it very much. We should have done it more. Okay.
This is the only time when I throw the ball in.
You have six offensive players, right?
Well, just me, just a coach. That's a C for coach.
Okay.
I only throw it to get it going.
Okay.
So like right now, everybody would be in the middle third.
Okay.
Once I start the drill, I throw it here.
Yep.
And then I'm done. I'm out. These people stay the same. these two can dribble a little bit. And our rules are the twos play 15 feet from the one, the threes play 15 feet from the two. So if the one happens to move up, the twos have to move up, and then the threes move up.
Threes move up. Okay.
Okay. So on this, all we do is once they have the ball, we pressure. So everybody shifts over like we did earlier.
Yep.
So the one, you know, everybody shifts over, yep. Five on the side. Their job is they ping pong it over here. Everybody.
Do you make them hold it on offense for a specific amount of time?
You can for a second or so if you want. Yeah, yeah. Second or so.
Because I can see what would happen with this. Yeah.
You know, like any type of shell.
Any type of shell, yeah.
They might hold it for a two count or something. But their job is to work on air time, and that's one of the keys. You know, not only do you run at angles, but you have to move on air time. If you wait till the other person catches it, it's too late. So right when that leaves their hands and goes over here, we are sprinting to our position. Then we take and bring it back. So now we sprint back to the original position.
Okay.
Then once they get it, we let them – the guard knows to dribble it into a 1-2 trap. Then they'll take – and once we get them 1-2 trap – and in this drill, there's no over and backs. There's no double dribbles. So once we get them into 1-2 trap, they will drag that dribble back. The one goes with them. And then, again, the twos and the threes play off that 15 feet. So if that girl dribbles all the way back here and that one goes with her, the twos move up, the threes move up.
Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like. Leave a review. We love those 5-star reviews. We're going to leave a 1-star. You can skip to the next podcast. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better.
Sports Social Podcast Network.